Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. The current series from the book of Nehemiah is called Uncomfortable. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's conversation again with Caleb.
It's always good to be here.
It is enjoyable, although I've got to admit that the passage that we're discussing right now is not a fun passage.
Yeah, it's a little rough when you read it. And as we said the last podcast, we left with, it was more so just a warning. And sometimes you'll get that in the Bible. You know,
it doesn't make you feel warm and fuzzy. Sometimes You go to the doctor and you don't feel good walking out.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was the time when you got the shot, you know, You got a little bit of bad news about your blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we are today, because here are these brethren that are fighting with the brethren and they're being taken advantage of. They have some real issues. They have no food to eat or a limited supply of food. They're in debt. They have a tax bill that they're borrowing money to pay. It's a bleak situation. People taking advantage of people. Now, you know, Caleb, growing up in our home, we have four children. Listeners, you know that Caleb is the third boy, and he'll attest to this. But nothing would make mom and dad more mad, would infuriate us any more than when you guys would not treat each other well. Would you agree with that, Caleb?
Yeah. And it was funny, you know, because growing up, sometimes we would get in trouble for, you know, calling each other a name or getting in a fight or something like that. And we're like, wow, dad's really in a bad mood today. Or wow, mom's really upset. I don't know why she's on edge. But looking at it, you know, hindsight, you know, it's 2020. I look at it. Okay, I get to see a little bit why you would be so upset. It's not so much I was mean. It's I'm being mean to somebody that I should love.
Right, that you should love and that I love. I love both of you. And so to the father mm-hmm. who loves equally both of the brothers, it's particularly upsetting.
Mm-hmm.
So in our passage, we've got brothers that can't get along. And it puts the leader in a difficult position, because one brother is taking advantage of another brother in his misery, in his plight. So how would a godly leader respond? Well, it says in verse 6, Nehemiah speaking in the first person, Nehemiah 5, verse 6, I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Nehemiah immediately assessed the situation and said, this irks me to no end, that my people would take advantage of my people. So therein is a little bit of a misunderstanding of the Bible for some people. Some people would say, well, anger, you know, that's sin. Yeah. But is anger sin?
Yeah, we talked about it. I have a Bible class, and we were talking through it. The subject came up, and we used the instance, you know, Jesus being angry at the money exchangers in the temple and all that. And we talked about, you know, there is a righteous type of anger. There are some things that should upset us. And it wasn't necessarily that Nehemiah was just mad because he was just ticked at them because he doesn't like them. It was, he's upset at what is happening amongst God's people. He's upset at the disunity and the hate. And it's not that he hates the people. It's that he hates the effect that they're having on each other.
Yeah, the biblical injunction is be ye angry and sin not.
Mm-hmm.
And so righteous indignation is justified in this case. So Nehemiah is angry, but I love the progression. So you'll be proud of me, Caleb, because as I was just jotting notes for this particular episode, sometimes I can't help myself. They all came out with the same letter.
Wow, that's very surprising.
I know, it's kind of old school.
Right, and alliterated. But, it wouldn't be a sermon without alliteration.
But I wasn't trying. I wasn't trying to do
just
it,
naturally.
So I don't know if that counts. So consider the following thoughts with me as the passage unfolds. So Nehemiah's angry. That's verse 6. But then the Bible says, then I consulted with myself. So there was a consultation with self. How important is it in our anger to kind of get our own equilibrium, to get ourselves, get our breathing right, make sure that we're not saying something in that emotional moment that's reactive, that's regrettable. So I love the fact that Nehemiah kind of found his center, consulted with himself. Better is he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. I'm not quoting that exactly, but you know the point.
Right.
So there's a consultation with self. And then look at verse 7 again, Caleb. I consulted with myself and I rebuked the nobles, the rulers. Now, who are they? They're the ones that have the ability to take advantage because they have the wealth. They're the ones that are taking the mortgage property. They're the ones that are lending with high exorbitant interest rates at 1% per month. Mm. It's called a hundredth part. We'll read that later. Then the Bible says, and said unto them, ye exact usury, every one of his brother, and I set a great assembly against them. So he brings in this, the whole people group. He wants tremendous transparency. He confronts them in front of everybody about their sin. It's reminiscent to me of what Paul did to Peter in Galatians chapter 2. Peter, I mean, he's the man. You know, walk with Jesus, chief apostle. Who's Paul? Johnny come lately. But I rebuked him to the face because he was to be blamed. And he did it publicly because Peter was publicly sinning and leading other people down a bad path as far as the conflict with the Judaizers was concerned in Galatians 2. So the point is this, consulted with himself, he found his own equilibrium, and then he was willing to confront people, even people that had some clout, even people that were not used to confrontation. And as leaders, we need to be willing to lovingly confront, to deal with issues out in the open, transparently, that are right and wrong. And Nehemiah does this. So he consults, he confronts. Are you seeing the alliteration?
I'm seeing it.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
You got
nice.
That there.
Very punny.
Right.
So verse 8, and I said unto them, we, after our ability, have redeemed our brethren, the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren, or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace and found nothing to answer. So do you follow Nehemiah's logic? Nehemiah was, hey, we from Persia that had some wealth, we used our money to redeem, to buy back people that have been sold into slavery to the heathen people. Mm-hmm. And you're not doing that. What you're doing is you're actually selling your own people into slavery. So what was Nehemiah's argument? Well, he consulted with himself. He confronted these leaders. Ready for the next C?
All right.
He compared himself and his practice with theirs. Hmm. So sometimes when we go to the Bible, you hear, we quote verses like comparing themselves among themselves, they're not wise, measuring themselves by themselves. And that's certainly true. We should never compare ourselves with others for the purpose of trying to absolve our own responsibility or make ourselves look good. But the Bible's full of comparisons. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, in that very same passage, Paul compares the churches of Macedonia with the churches of Achaia for the purpose of saying, hey, Achaia, get back to work, right? So here, Nehemiah is not trying to make himself look good. He's using a comparison for the point of waking up these people to say, this is wrong. So there's a consulting with self. There's a confrontation of the nobles and the rulers, a willingness to lovingly confront. There is a comparison that he uses, because when we use comparisons in real life situations, it helps people to understand. Mm-hmm. We just give people biblical principles, but we never say, you know, it's kind of like this or like this person doing that. Sometimes it's harder to understand. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I think there's definitely a fine line between, you know, healthy comparison and unhealthy comparison. And I think a lot of people use comparison to make themselves look better, but rather we should make it to be better. To be better, right?
Right, you know, which is the point.
That is what it's for. But a lot of times we use that to our own selfishness to make us look better. But here we see that Nehemiah is using it to make them be better.
So let me wrap it up because we're quickly running out of time. So he's dealing with the situation. He's angry, but he consults with himself. He confronts the nobles. He uses this means of comparison. But then I think the fourth thing he does is he contextualizes. You got to put everything into the big picture. And the big picture here is not brethren against brethren, or Nehemiah's ticked off, or this person has debt, or, hey, I don't have enough food. Those are all issues that contribute, but what's the real issue? The real issue here is people have lost their concept of God. They've lost their reverence of a God that has called them and a God that is going to hold them accountable. And when we sin, the chief way by which we sin is the fact that we're losing our concept of God. We're not practicing his presence. Someone once said that every sinful act is a mild form of temporary atheism. Because in the moment,
I like that
we're
quote.
Right. Because in the moment, we're saying, I don't believe in God, or I don't believe God's watching.
Yeah.
So watch how Nehemiah says that essentially in verse 9. Also, I said, it is not good that you do this thing that you're doing. Ought you not to walk in the fear of our God? See the relational there, our God, in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies. So Nehemiah points out two things. Number one, guys, you're not paying attention to the fact that God's watching. We ought to be living our life for an audience of one, fearing God. And then the fact that you're doing this is bringing reproach from our enemies. Our enemies can look in, point at us and say, those are God's people. That's the way they treat each other. That's the way they behave. That's the way they take advantage of each other. You know, how pathetic. So Nehemiah contextualizes. He brings the whole thing back to say, guys, this is all about God, how we view God and how God is viewed by others. It's the glory of God that matters. So let's respect him. That's an awesome, that's an awesome strategy, isn't it?
It
from is. Nehemiah?
Yeah, it definitely hits home. There at the end, we often forget to contextualize. And I think if we are more conscious about our decisions in respect to God, it'll help shape us a lot differently.
So here's what happens. And I totally agree with you, Caleb. So here's what happens just because we are out of time. So here's what happened. he contextualizes the whole thing. He confronts them, all of this. Well, then it says in verses 11 through 13 that now he deals with it. Okay, guys, so here's what I'm going to tell you to do. Give back the money you took. You know, pay back the interest that you absconded with. And so he's counseling them. That's my C word. So he consults, he confronts, he compares, he contextualizes, he counsels. That might be a little bit of a stretch there.
Right.
And the people respond. Okay, we're going to do it. But I love what Nehemiah does lastly. He doesn't just believe their knee-jerk response. Okay, we're wrong. He's been there, done that. Just like Joshua, he wants to confirm their decision. So how does he do that? He calls them forward. Again, for sake of time, we're not going to read this. He calls them forward. He takes his robe. And a robe, you'd carry things in a robe, like a pocket. You'd flip up your robe a little bit and carry things.
Yep.
And when you shake it out, that would mean like you're shaking off the dust or shaking off the crumbs.
Right.
So he shook it off in front of them and said, guys, if you don't do what you said you're going to do, that's going to be God shaking you off. So he did this in front of the people, to the nobles. He said, guys, make the right decision. And if you don't, I might not be here, but God will.
Oh.
And he's always going to hold us accountable for the decisions that we make.
What a visual.
What a visual and what a great passage. I mean, it almost makes me a little bit scared reading it.
It is.
Like, our God is a God that's awesome and he's holy and he's to be feared. And so let's not be quick to take advantage of our brethren. Let's love them and serve them, be there for them in their need, and let's let God be happy that we're loving, not competing with the brethren. And I hope that'll help you today, my friends. And maybe you'll reach out to somebody today. Maybe somebody that you've just not been kind to you. Maybe somebody of whom you've taken some advantage. And maybe today you'll make that thing right. Boy, that'd be a blessing. Thank you, my friends. Have a great day.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.